Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, if you are an active Facebook user and you are sick and tired of spending $60 to $100 every year for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, don't do it anymore. Stop paying the money. Shoot over to Wrestler Unstoppable, the totally free Facebook-based wrestling game. You can create your own wrestler, join companies, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, book pay-per-views, create your own corporation. Whatever you think about real professional wrestling can be done in this game. It is a great, great game. Check out Wrestler Unstoppable on Facebook right now. And while you're at it, go to our Patreon page if you'd like to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family. Go to patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and join the family today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Tonight is the last night you can cast your vote in the final four of the best Intercontinental Champion of All Time tournament that we've had going on for quite a while now. Please make sure you do that if you haven't already. Go to frowrestling.com and cast your votes. And as we go through the show, if you have questions, comments, topics you want to discuss, anything of the sort, give us a shout on the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160 and send us whatever you would like to discuss. We want to get you guys as actively participating in the show as we can. While we're doing all that, the direct links for all of our voting are at frowrestling.com/fanvote, and we also launched our apparel tab. If you want to show your love and support of the Fro Wrestling Podcast, feel free to shoot over there. Go to the Fro Wrestling webpage, and in the top right corner, you'll see the new Fro Shop, where we've got shirts, pants, jeans, bedding, bedspreads, flip-flops, you name it, it's all on there. Lawn signs, and by the way, anybody who purchases one of the lawn signs and puts that out there, take a snapshot of it, shoot it to us, you get to come on one of these episodes with me and do a going live episode for the fans and the listeners. That would be awesome. I'd love to have some people on. Also, if you happen to be in charge of an independent wrestling promotion in the northeastern part of the country, there is also an independent talent booking page now at frowrestling.com. Or if you are just a fan, you want to send some fan mail, maybe you've seen some of these guys wrestle, you want to shoot them a message or whatever, all their contact information, profiles and whatnot are on that tab. So go to frowrestling.com and click on the link for the indie talent booking. It is a cool thing to be connected to some of these independent wrestlers. They do such a great job and they work so hard, and it's really nice to see them get a little some extra support from the fan base. I personally have gone to several of their shows. They do a really nice job. The guys that are on there right now, most of them are Worldwide Wrestling Alliance and Excellence Pro Wrestling, both organizations located in southeastern Pennsylvania. So if you are booking talent, check that out. If you're a fan, it's not a bad thing. Go ahead, pop onto their accounts. Let them know you appreciate their work. I'm sure they actually love to hear from the people who really care the most about their product. Moving into today's news rumors, we're going to get to breaking down what happened on SmackDown. We're going to touch on one topic from 205 Live. But before we do either of those, got to address a bunch of the news stories that have broken in the last couple days, starting with the really big one and I say really big because it's potentially affects two organizations and huge pay-per-view buys, and that is Jon Jones of the UFC flunking another test for the use of banned substances. In this case, it was a steroid of some sort. This is not the first time for him. He got a ban before because of having elevated levels and a substance in his body that he swears came from a male enhancement pill. I don't know if I buy that. The guy seems to be young and plenty able to perform in other ways. I'm sure he doesn't need an enhancement pill. So it was shady the first time. This time just makes him look bad. He was just getting press for being the best UFC fighter in history. Now, the reason this is on the Fro Wrestling Podcast is because he is also the guy who, after defeating Daniel Cormier for the championship that he just won, which, by the way, if it's proven that he did fail this drug test, he'll be stripped of his UFC championship. But he's the guy who called out Brock Lesnar and wanted to fight Brock Lesnar sooner rather than later. And the reality was that we were waiting for Brock Lesnar to get into the U.S. anti-doping testing protocol, That way he could be cleared of his one-year suspension as a result of his fight against Mark Hunt last summer at UFC 200, and it would clear the way for this mega blockbuster UFC fight. So the problem is that now that this has happened, John Jones potentially faces a four-year ban from UFC, which would effectively end any chance of him facing Brock Lesnar at any point. So here's the thing. It would destroy a UFC fight if this happens. It would eliminate a huge, huge pay-per-view main event from a UFC pay-per-view. But also, WWE, you know they wanted to get their hands on this because it's their talent. Brock Lesnar, he's their beast. And you know that there had to have been some kind of crossover for them to allow Brock Lesnar, if he was still under contract, because remember, his contract runs out after WrestleMania next year. So if they were going to allow him to somehow promote this prior to his contract running out, you know they were going to be getting something in return, which would probably been of some kind of involvement by Jon Jones in the pro wrestling world as well. And now, if this doesn't go down, it affects WWE's product as well. And there, rumor has it that there was actually some plans in place to try to make this thing happen. Those things obviously are either going to be scrapped at this point because they're not going to. These processes could take a while to determine whether Jon Jones gets a four-year ban or not. And even if he doesn't get a four-year ban, if he is found guilty of taking a banned substance again, you know it's going to be a hefty suspension no matter what it is. 1 year is the typical thing for the first time, but this could be a huge, huge issue. We'll have to keep our eyes on that and see what happens from there. Big Cass, for those who don't know, on Monday Night Raw, when Big Cass was dumped over the top rope by Enzo, he landed very awkwardly, and it turns out he has torn his ACL and has potentially other issues in his knee. He is in for surgery, and he will be out probably in the neighborhood of 9 to 12 months. So that totally halts any kind of progress that Big Cass was doing trying to become a star as an independent singles wrestler outside of his tag team with Enzo. And for me, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I think it's actually a great thing for his character and for Enzo. And here's why. First off, Enzo was being booked in a way that made him look incredibly weak against Big Cass. So Enzo was going to do nothing. Now, a lot of that people attribute to Enzo's backstage heat. And I get that. But at the end of the day, they've got a lot of time and money invested in Enzo, so burying him every week really didn't make much sense, in my opinion, if you wanted to ever recoup some of that investment that you made. However, with Big Cass going down, two things have happened now. Big Cass is going to have time to get off television. People were kind of already turning on him because he's supposed to be a big guy, but he's supposed to be a heel. But he looks like a babyface, and his mannerisms just weren't coming together as a heel. So in this situation, it allows Big Cass to be able to go away for a little while. When he comes back, hopefully he can work on his let me think how to say this. His appearance, his package, his whole presentation. And hopefully he can come back and either be the monster heel that they want him to be, or when he comes back, he goes back to being a babyface and people are thrilled about it. Now, for the other big issue with this is it frees Enzo up to do something else. And we'll get into that specifically a little bit later. But getting Enzo away from Cass permanently on television is probably a great thing for both of their careers because it was really pigeonholing them into each other, which is really not a good thing when you're trying to launch a singles career like Big Cass was. Charges against Paige have been dropped. So I've thought this was ridiculous from the beginning. Paige throws a drink on her boyfriend or fiance, and somehow people want to bring her up on charges of domestic violence and domestic battery and all this other nonsense, which would have resulted potentially in her being fired from World Wrestling Entertainment. That's an issue for me. Look, I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody in this world, friends, brothers, family alike, they don't every once in a while get angry with each other and everybody's taking a glass of water to the face or a glass of something to the face. I know I have. I know I've dished it. I've received it. So this is not something that you charge somebody with domestic battery for. I feel like the officers here were way out of line. But thankfully, those charges have been dropped, which clears the way for Paige to return to WWE, which is something she's been talking about quite a bit lately. We mentioned on the last podcast that she had posted on Twitter to one of her friends over in NXT that she'd be joining joining her and seeing her real soon. And I really hope that happens. I think she would inject some life into the women's division, hopefully on Raw, potentially in SmackDown. But I think SmackDown is actually doing pretty well without having another talent added to the roster. And if they're going to add a talent, it looked like for a little while there that it may have been Asuka. But now with her injury, that's also not going to happen. Just as an update on that story, Asuka breaking her collarbone, she will be out 6 to 8 weeks. She posted a picture on Twitter today of her x-rays. So well wishes for a speedy recovery for Asuka to get back to the roster, because, you know, NXT is going to be hurting without her. They don't have anybody that's on her level, and she's in the middle of this monumentally historic championship reign. I'm actually hoping they don't take the title off her and allow her to appear on television in non-wrestling capacity, just to keep her relevant and keep her from having to lose her championship. Going to move on to a huge story that broke today, that Lana and Rusev had asked for their releases from World Wrestling Entertainment. Now, I'm not a person who typically worries about every little story that comes down the pike and where it came from and all those different things. But the reality is that this is a huge story that could have a really adverse effect on their earning potential if it's found to be untrue. And at this point, the story originally broke earlier today through Billy Boddy, who is on Dirty Sheets podcast, and he claimed that they had asked for their release, that Rusev was upset over the creative direction he was getting. He was supposed to get a championship match a couple months ago at Money in the Bank, and that did not happen. If you remember, there was some talk of him potentially challenging Jinder Mahal. That did not happen. Him challenging Randy Orton, that didn't happen. And so the way he was booked at SummerSlam, losing in a matter of seconds to Randy Orton, which is a total slap in the face to a guy who at one point was the unbeatable Bulgarian Brute, clearly shows you the lack of direction they had for his character. But that being said, it looks as though Lana took to Twitter today to debunk those rumors that was just, you know, almost like fabricated news by that show. And look, I don't know the guys over that show at all. I've listened to their show once today just to get this information. So I don't know how credible they are, but I don't like to throw people under the bus either. For that podcast, if it's a true story, if it's something that really happened and you have a source to back you up, this is one of those times where you got to put a source out there. Or at least give us some direction with where you got your info from. Because right now, you're hearing it from the horse's mouth, proverbially, in Lana, that it's nonsense. It's not happening. Now, either she's going to look really stupid when they get their release, or it really didn't happen, and this podcast is just making stuff up to get some ratings. Not sure how things are going there. I want to touch on something that's driving me nuts. Global Force Wrestling, I mentioned last podcast episode that they have been recording episodes, and at that time I said all the way into October. And as it turns out, they've got episodes booked and recorded all the way through into November. And it's getting frustrating. I mean, I literally turned on the internet the other day, and if you go to some of these wrestling sites, E-Wrestling News, WrestleZone, PWI Online, the Wrestling Observer, if you go to any of these, you can find the spoilers for all their shows leading up to their Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Now, here's the thing that really frustrates me. You know, when I go, I'll give you a great example, is E-Wrestling News, which, by the way, is one of the most fantastic wrestling news sites out there. Not that I like to plug competition, but let's face it, they're phenomenal. So if you like news and rumors and things like that, and you don't want to wait for me or somebody else to podcast it to you, by all means, E-Wrestling News. They'll get my endorsement today. And here's the thing. I go and I click on their GFW spoilers, and it said spoilers October to November. And at the bottom of the screen, it suggests other stories to read. And it was like GFW TV taping spoilers. And it was like, for tonight's episode, August 24th, September this, September that, September this, September that, October, November. And I'm like, good Lord. Like, so we literally can sit there, and if you just keep scrolling to the bottom of each article, you just watch in sequential order. And it's almost like in your mind, you could see these, you know, matches taking place, and you could already know every single thing that's going on with Global Force Wrestling, including the fact that low key, who came back, won the X Division Championship earlier this year, and then was put into a great situation with LAX, and it really looked like Low-Ki may get an opportunity to get a shot at a world championship. Instead, Low-Ki has been as requested and been granted his release from Global Force Wrestling. Now, I'm not trying to give away spoilers for future GFW matches and storylines, but in some way, I feel like I have to, because since Jeff Jarrett and his group of people took over the creative planning of the company, a couple things have happened. First off, yes, their viewership has gone up. That's a good thing. However, they have seen more talent come in and then leave than I've ever seen in any company in my life. This is almost like they're an independent company who just brings people in for one set of shows and then says, you know, have a nice day, get out. You know, they don't really invest any time and energy in long-term booking enough to lock these guys into contracts to bring them in the first place. And that's an issue. You know, people often complain about WWE and their lack of long-term planning. What about Global Force Wrestling? I know only a few months ago, I did a podcast episode where I spoke about the plethora of talent that GFW has. And at the time, they had just announced that they had brought back Matt Morgan, and they had Magnus, and they brought in Chris Adonis, and they got all these guys, and Alberto El Patron, and they brought in... oh my gosh, his name is slipping my mind. UFC fighter that faced Bobby Lashley for a one-off. You know, they brought him in. He does commentary for IWGP shows, New Japan shows on Access TV, and I can't remember his name right now. Good Lord, what's wrong with me? But the point is they keep bringing in talent. They brought in Low-Ki. They brought in, you know, right now they just brought in that OVE tag team, and they, you know, just Konga Kong and all these talents that nobody knew who they were. And just when you get comfortable with them to the point that you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to start investing some time in Global Force Wrestling's television show. Half the talent's gone. There is no Magnus anymore. There's no Angelina Love, no Davey Richards. There's no, you know, Matt Morgan. He's gone. You know, a lot of the talent that they had acquired and really looked like they were going to make a push are gone. Even Alberto El Patron is in a lot of ways is gone, because he's not on television. He's been suspended for nothing. Could somebody please explain to me why Alberto El Patron is not on television? Because I saw and I reported that last week that there was concern over his behavior going forward. Alberto El Patron has acted the same way for years, and he was good enough to sign and make your world champion twice over. You know, he had that crap where he showed up at the beginning and won the title like his first night, and then he gave the title back and now he won it again, and then they take it from him. Like, if he's that important to your company, you give him two world championships, why in God's name are you taking him off television when he didn't do anything except get in an argument with his girl, which happens to every relationship there is, and she threw a drink on him? So what's the problem? Somebody needs to get over it there and fix your brand, because you've had a shot to really look great, and instead, it's starting to look like a crap storm over there. Get your head out of your butt, GFW. Going to move back to a different topic. I'm going to go to WrestleMania 34. Apparently, the main event plans are all set again. So, you know, originally it was Brock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for the World Championship. And then it shifted and people said, no, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Roman Reigns versus John Cena at WrestleMania, which I'm all in favor of. I'm just going to throw that out there. That I would love to see wait until WrestleMania. However, now, apparently, it's back to being Brock versus Roman Reigns. And part of the reason that's being said is that came out today. There was a story on several wrestling outlets, including WrestleZone and eWrestling News, where they spoke about Vince McMahon wanting John Cena to come to Raw, not because they needed to pop the ratings, but because they wanted younger talents to get the rub from defeating John Cena. John Cena hasn't won very many meaningful matches in forever. Look, I get the Baron Corbin thing, but none of us are stupid. We're all smart marks. We know what's going on there. You know, Baron Corbin irritated people in the back with his Twitter ranting and everything else, and he ended up getting beat down by John Cena because they were mad at him, and they were trying to punish him and take away his push. And then you move on, and you take a look further back. John Cena, yeah, he won the world championship from AJ Styles at Royal Rumble, but we're not dumb on that either. That was a transition. He was a transitional champion. He got his 16th title win just so that they could find a way to transition the belt to Bray Wyatt. John Cena has not had a meaningful feud where he's done anything of substance since the AJ Styles feud. And that's pretty sad. At this point, we needed to see some John. Look, I know people are like, John Cena's old. He's not old, okay? Dude just turned 40. You know, you people, the same people who say John Cena are old are the same people who would go nuts right now if Hulk Hogan walked to the ring or Ric Flair walked to the ring. I remember when Bret Hart came back and won the United States Championship from The Miz in that ridiculous match on Raw a few years ago when the Nexus was around still and all that kind of stuff. And I remember people going crazy because Bret the Hitman Hart, you know, came in and won the United States title. And he was in his late 50s. Like, John Cena's 40, just turned 40. Give the guy a break. He's the most dominant star WWE has had in probably the last 15 years, and he's been the most consistent. He's been willing to do... People always talk about how he never loses. He's been putting everybody under the sun over as of late. You know, who did he not put over? Baron Corbin, who was in trouble, and The Miz, who if you had The Miz and his wife beat John Cena and Nikki Bella right before he proposed to her at WrestleMania, it would have just been the most horrible taste in booking you could have possibly had. So... this main event at Mania, I think, is a bad idea. Roman Reigns should be facing John Cena. If you're going to give Reigns a victory over Cena, make him do it at WrestleMania. It almost becomes a situation where Roman Reigns becomes the WrestleMania killer. Like, he goes in and takes out whoever this great babyface, super over with the fans star is every year, like he did with The Undertaker. But I don't like the idea of Brock and Roman, because you just got done watching Brock Lesnar pin Roman Reigns to retain his championship at SummerSlam. He was facing three other guys, and he still got a clean pinfall win over Roman Reigns. How do you build Roman Reigns up to be able to beat a guy who just beat Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns, and beat him clean after being stretchered to the back and all this other nonsense? So I just think it's a horrible idea. Figure something else out for Brock. And if you don't really want... some people are upset because they don't want Brock to have the championship till WrestleMania. I don't really either. I say you either start paying him to come on to Raw and talk a little bit or do something, or transition the belt to somebody else and start making other plans, because Brock doesn't need a belt to be an attraction. We've said that about several other talents in the past, but he needs something to start being planned out that is far enough ahead thinking that he's going to have a legit program that people aren't going to boo out of the building. I just don't see people wanting to see Brock and Roman Reigns. If you're tuned in right now as we are on the air live, don't forget to check in to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160. Give us your questions, comments, anything you want to talk about. We would love to hear from you tonight. We got another topic to get to. This one's a little more sensitive, and I'm not normally the sentimental, sensitive kind of guy, but sad news this week for Dana Brooke, WWE women's competitor. Her love of her life, Dallas McCarver, a bodybuilder who was doing very well in the Arnold Classic out of Australia. He was a favorite to win the tournament, passed away. He had been competing previously at a competition and collapsed on stage. They said that it was related to other issues, but then apparently while he was... by himself at home, he spoke to Dana Brooke. He was making himself some lunch, and unfortunately, he passed away. He choked on his food and passed away at a very young age, in his mid-20s. It's very sad. And Dana Brooke has set up a GoFundMe project for in his memory to help with the costs and whatnot and arrangements. Very sad news. Thoughts and prayers out to Dana Brooke and Dallas McCarver's entire family. It's never great news to hear anything like that. And hopefully WWE, and I suspect that they will be, but hopefully they give her the time she needs to take care of what's really important. Going to get going with the SmackDown breakdown, okay? So SmackDown, I actually felt like was relatively solid this week. There were a few things that irked me a little bit, but otherwise very solid. Now, here's the thing. Kick off the show with AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and Shane McMahon having their little soiree in the ring. It leads to Kevin Owens getting another opportunity at the United States Championship with the stipulation. AJ throws out that he's going to give him the match, but Shane McMahon allows Kevin Owens to pick the referee. And I found it interesting that only a week ago we were talking on the podcast about Kevin Owens coming to the rescue of Sami Zayn while they were in Canada and taking out Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers. And I thought that was really, you know, normally WWE will test market things on their house shows to see how the fans react to them. And after the incredible pop that they got when Owens came out and saved Sami Zayn, I thought, here's an opportunity. When I saw the way they were booking this, you know, Kevin Owens goes into the back, he comes up to Sami Zayn, he's talking to him about he needs somebody he could trust to be the referee. There was an immediate organic feeling about it. Like, this could work. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn working together. This could work on a lot of levels. First off, Kevin Owens makes a reference to the fact that since coming to SmackDown Live, Sami Zayn hasn't done anything important. You know what? He's telling the truth. Sami Zayn has been a worthless character on the show. He hasn't gotten anything of substance. His only feud, sort of, was an issue he had with Mike Kanellis, who has completely disappeared from television. I don't even know if he is considered on the main roster anymore, as much as we haven't seen him. So I thought this was an opportunity. I thought they should have run with it, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Instead, they'll address that later in the show. Bobby Roode makes his big debut on SmackDown. Bobby Roode comes out interrupting Aiden English. And here's the problem I think WWE is going to have with Bobby Roode. You have a guy who on the NXT brand was a heel. The minute he debuted on SmackDown, those fans told WWE all they need to know. The fans love him. There are some guys who come from Impact Wrestling and go somewhere else, and they don't really have a big enough name to be important. But when you talk about people like Austin Aries, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, these are guys who come in and they have a fan base already. Putting him in NXT where he's got less exposure only made it so the true Bobby Roode fans from his time in NXT or in Impact Wrestling, his fan base there were just dying to see him on the main roster. When he walked out through the curtain on Tuesday night last night, it was phenomenal. It was glorious. Just saying. I actually think they're going to have a tough time trying to keep him as a heel. He's just so over with the crowd. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but when you look at Bobby Roode in the ring now, man, is he cut. He was always in good shape, but in Impact Wrestling, he never had the physique that he has right now. It speaks volumes for WWE's plan of, you know, getting their wrestlers to work out and really take nutrition and body conditioning very seriously. Even Kevin Owens has dropped quite a bit of weight since his debut with the main roster. So congratulations to Bobby Roode making his debut. I thought that was probably my favorite segment of the entire show. Daniel Bryan had a big announcement for Chad Gable. They're in the back having one of their backstage vignettes. He's on his phone and he tells Chad Gable when he traded away his tag team partner, Jason Jordan, so he could be with his kayfabe father over on Raw, that part of the deal was that Kurt Angle had to help him contact a friend of his and bring him in to essentially be a replacement tag team partner for Chad Gable. And that returning partner is Shelton Benjamin. So they introduce Shelton Benjamin. Chad Gable's like super fanboy. He's going crazy about Benjamin being there. And then, you know, Daniel Bryan makes it clear that next week they're going to debut as a tag team. And you could see on the look of Shelton Benjamin's face, not thrilled at all. Had no interest in it. It looked like he was going to cut Daniel Bryan off and explain that to him. But then Chad Gable was going crazy and he just kind of rolled with it. We'll have to wait and see how they book that. I think, obviously, Chad Gable versus Shelton Benjamin in a match would actually be fantastic, as they both can really, really go in the ring. I did notice that it looked like Shelton Benjamin like put on like 5-6 inches of height and quite a bit of weight physically. He looks like a beast next to Chad Gable. So we'll have to see how they use him. I think if they use properly, he's a great, great asset to have on the Blue brand. Moving on, the Usos take on the Hype Bros. I haven't seen the Hype Bros in so many weeks. I almost forgot what they look like. Still don't have matching outfits. They should go back to doing that like they did in NXT. Instead, the Usos totally dismantle the Hype Bros. They got a little bit of offense going for a few moments, but nothing to write home to mom about. This was a relatively quick match. The Usos are claiming that they have the tag team division on lockdown. I'm just giving my opinion here. I think that the Usos should lose the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship to the Fashion Police next week on a live episode of SmackDown, just to send a message that those tag team championships are never too safe in one place and everybody's dying to see the Fashion Police in a more substantial role in on the brand. Those fashion files have generated so much interest. I think it's time. Give the fashion police their 15 minutes of fame. Give them the tag team championship. I actually love the New Day, but I'm okay if they're out of the world championship picture for a little while. You have Carmella and Natalya have an issue brewing because Carmella has the briefcase and wants to cash it in on Natalya at some point. They end up getting put in a tag team match against Naomi and Becky Lynch, which does not go well for Carmella, who teases cashing in her briefcase repeatedly, only to get, you know, taken out by Naomi and Becky Lynch. I actually thought that was a cool angle. I feel like Carmella has been limited exposure on television. Being a Money in the Bank briefcase holder, you'd think they'd make her a more prominent figure in the women's brand. But I do think the SmackDown brand is doing a much better job of marketing their women. I'm hoping that with Sasha Banks being the Raw Women's Champion, that they figure that out and really push her. And, you know, I just don't know who you push her against. You know, she's already beaten Nia Jax quite a few times. She's beaten Alexa Bliss. You could do the Bayley thing, but she's actually recently even only already beaten her. A Bayley flip to being a heel would be great, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger on that. Getting back to SmackDown, though. Dolph Ziggler is out. He has an interview. He talks about how he's reintroducing himself to the fans. I don't know what they're doing with him, but he is far too talented to be sitting on the sidelines doing nothing important. They need to find a way to integrate him as best they can into the program every single week. It's ridiculous that the wrestling audience has not been able to see him in as long as it's been. Baron Corbin makes a deal. He's in the back. You know, here's the thing. Kevin Owens is walking around, still can't find a referee. When he went up to Sami Zayn the second time, Zayn actually rejected him because of all the stuff he's done to him the last couple years. Corbin, you don't see him on camera, but I guess he's standing behind Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens tries to recruit the fashion police to be his referee. They decline him. He turns around when Baron Corbin grabs him on the shoulder, and Baron Corbin offers his services with the understanding that if Kevin Owens is to win the United States Championship that night, that he would get the first opportunity at the new championship. I like that. It actually sounded like, hey, we're going to have an interesting storyline here. I actually thought they may even give the championship to Owens and then start an Owens-Baron Corbin feud. Since he doesn't have the briefcase anymore, he doesn't have to be in the world title picture anymore, the United States Championship makes a lot of sense. Instead, Baron Corbin comes out. He's the special referee. Styles and Owens are going to town. He's counting fast counts, trying to essentially give the championship to Kevin Owens. Shane McMahon comes down. He has a problem with Corbin's refereeing quality. They get into some arguments, a little bit of pushing going on. Corbin ends up taking off the referee shirt and throwing it in his face, saying he's done. He walks out. As that's going on, Kevin Owens is freaking out. In the ring, AJ Styles hits a few moves. Shane McMahon puts the referee shirt on. He, you know, has a little bit of an argument with Owens. When they all get into the ring, Styles hits his finisher, and he picks up the win, retaining the United States Championship. Kevin Owens will not get another match with AJ Styles as long as AJ Styles is the United States Champion. Interesting storyline, you know, unfolding here. Obviously, they're still pushing the Kevin Owens Shane McMahon match that had been rumored earlier last month. I think that's a horrible idea, but whatever. You know, WWE does what they want to do. I want to go to 205 Live. I don't do that often. If you haven't noticed, I don't really review 205 Live all that much each week. Generally speaking, 205 Live is the same mishmash of cruiserweight talent every week. They do the same stuff every week. They don't do anything of substance, and it bores me. This past week, before the show even kicked off, there's photos online of people at mass exodus from the building leaving before 205 Live was over, or even started, I should say. So obviously they're not doing the right marketing of the brand if they're going to have that happen. However, they did make a move. And the move that could draw some audience is after Neville retains the Cruiserweight Championship in the rematch with Akira Tozawa, out to the top of the entrance ramp comes Enzo. So I said earlier that Enzo, now that Cass is hurting out for a year, he needs something different. JBL has said it. I've said it. Corey Graves has said it. Everybody who's anybody in the world of professional wrestling has said it. Enzo needs to go to 205 Live, and he debuted on Tuesday night, last night, on 205 Live, talking about it's the, you know, the big brand or whatever. the most real brand or whatever. And now Enzo obviously is going to be the next challenger or next main feud for Neville. I just hope they allow Enzo to take that freaking title from Neville, because I'm getting really sick and tired of seeing it. It's like a constant ongoing thing. There's no excitement when you tune in every week and it's the same crap. You know what I'm saying? If you get a chance and you would like to become a family member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast, shoot over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Special shout out this episode to our buddy Harold in St. Louis. Thank you for being our first ever Patreon member. You're awesome. We love you always. Make sure. And by the way, Harold, I'll give you a specific shout out just to you. You give me so much great conversation, questions, and comments. I really appreciate it all the time. And it's been a couple days since I got one. Feel free, buddy. Give me a shout. Let me know what you're thinking. I love the conversation from Harold in St. Louis. He is very, very thoughtful. I got to put something special together with him in the coming weeks. I want to try to do something with him I haven't done before and should be a lot of fun. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next time. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all of our music and sound effects we used in today's show. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Beazel Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with Sketchy People. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazel Games by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the link in the middle of the page. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. Be sure to shoot over to our website at frolifeplanning.com if you are in high school or you are trying to get into a college or university and you need assistance figuring out the career path. What should you major in? What college should you go to? How are you going to find all the financial aid? What classes should you register for? Or if you're an adult who's just looking for an alternate career path, you want to try something new, you're spinning your wheels at your current job and you think, you know what, this just isn't cut out for me anymore, give us a shout. The Fro Wrestling, frolifeplanning.com is always here for you to try to find that new avenue, that new opportunity, and give the guidance necessary. Remember, Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you, as always, for taking the time with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to thesportsjunkies101.com. That's T-H-A, thesportsjunkies101.com today. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to the Fro Wrestling Podcast Going Live episode. We will hopefully see you guys again on Saturday night for our Going Live at 9:05 episode. It is the Labor Day weekend. All kinds of craziness, I'm sure, leading up to that. Hopefully, there'll be some news about Raw and SmackDown, and we'll get some great information out there for you guys. Until next episode, take care, everybody. Have a great night.